The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my second week of teaching on Don't Limit God. And I tell you, I am really excited about this because it has changed my life. The Lord spoke to me in January of 2002 and told me I was limiting God by my small thinking. It wasn't rebellion. It wasn't intentional. It was just things that, attitudes that I had developed over the years. And He told me I had to change the way I thought. And when I did, our ministry has just transformed. We had 30 employees back then. We now have over 200. We had about a $200,000 a month income during 2001. Now, during 2008, we averaged over $1.2 million per month. We had about 900 people contacting us, first-time people contacting us each month during 2001. Now we have I don't even know what the high is, but we've averaged around 5,000 a month, first time people contacting us. Everything in the ministry has just exploded. We're reaching more people. And I'm not saying that to be bragging or saying anything, except just this is my testimony that this transformed my life. And I know that it's going to be the same for everyone. We have a supernatural God who wants to do supernatural things through us. If you can look at your life and explain everything away naturally and say that I've done this, this has all been my effort, then I think you've missed God's will for your life. God will call you to do something that is supernatural, that it takes supernatural ability to get it done. If your life isn't supernatural, then it's superficial. And I don't say that to criticize. I say it to encourage, to expand your vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And many people are perishing because they are just accepting the mundane, inferior life that is so typical today. If you've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you ought to be looking for supernatural results. You ought to be expecting something. Well, that's powerful. The very first thing I did last week was show that we do have this kind of power with God. God doesn't just sovereignly, automatically control things in our life and move us like a pawn and make His will come to pass. He has a plan for us, but we get to choose. And I dealt with that last week. And then on Friday of last week, I started talking about the second thing that I think is really important. And that is that you have to realize that God created you for a purpose. There is a will of God for everyone. We did not evolve from slime. It is not just circumstance. We aren't supposed to be like a person on an inner tube just floating with the tide and riding downstream. No, it'd be more accurate to describe us as swimming upstream with a purpose and going against the flow and going against what's just easy and natural and having a goal someplace that we're headed towards. It takes effort to fulfill God's will for your life. And you can't fulfill it accidentally. You have to know that God created you with a purpose. Look at this verse out of Galatians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's defending his apostleship, saying that he didn't get his message from people. He wasn't taught this by man, but that God taught him supernaturally the truths that he was speaking. And in verse 15, Galatians 1:15, it says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, etc." But notice he said that God separated him. The word separate is talking about that He had a plan for his life. He took him away from other things and He pushed him in a certain direction. He separated him unto the gospel from his mother's womb. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn over to all the scriptures, but if you were to study the words, you'll find out that the Apostle Paul was separated unto God. Specifically, he says here, the gospel, that means the nearly too good to be true news about God's grace and mercy being available to us free of charge without us having to earn it through our own goodness. He was separated under that from his mother's womb. But Paul took a detour. Paul went into Judaism. Paul became one of the Pharisees of the Pharisees and a person who persecuted Christians even to the point of death. That never was what God intended. But it does reflect that, see, he knew he was called to the ministry. He knew that he was called to represent God. He went the wrong direction and just did what all of his peers were doing, going through the religious seminary of his day. And he embraced the legalistic doctrines that the Jews were under at that time. But he went that direction because he had a call of God on his life, but he went about trying to fulfill it in his own way. You know, I don't have time here. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But you can see Moses did the same thing. He knew what God's will for him was. He knew that God was going to use him to bring deliverance to the Jews that were in Egypt. And he just assumed that God was going to do it through his position in the Egyptian government. So he went out and killed a man, thinking that that was the way that God was going to bring his will to pass. And it wasn't. And Moses wound up spending 40 years in the wilderness that never was God's will. The children of Israel wound up spending 30 years extra time in bondage because of Moses' self-will. Moses knew what God's will was, but he went about to accomplish it with his own wisdom in his own way, and it cost him and the Israelites dearly. Well, Paul here is saying that God separated him under the gospel from his mother's womb. But you know what? He made some false steps in how to accomplish it. And finally, it was only after the Lord appeared unto him in this blinding flash of light on the road to Damascus that Jesus finally revealed himself. And then he began to start ministering. And of course, he wrote half of the New Testament, and we're benefiting from it today. But see, this shows that God had a purpose. Now, the point I'm trying to make through this is a lot of people think that, well, God, I love you and I'm asking for you to bless me. And so they go through life doing their own thing and then just hoping that this is going to be what God wants them to do. And they ask God to bless it. That's not the right way to find God's will. You need to recognize God created you before you were grown, before you had developed these skills, before these things happened, and he's got a purpose for your life, even from your mother's womb. That's the way it was with the Apostle Paul, and God is no respecter of persons. I think that sometimes people, you know, they graduate from high school or university, and they look and they say, well, I've got this musical talent, or I've got this accounting talent. It just seems like I've got an ability to go in that direction. And so they make their decisions based on these kind of things. And they think that God, basically, when they get born again, is looking at them and say, well, you're a musician, or you've got this talent, or you've done this, and this is your training, and so I'll use you over here. The Lord isn't coming into your life just when you get born again at 20 or 30 or 40 or whatever it is. From the beginning, Paul said, separated from his mother's womb, God had this purpose for him. I'm trying to get it across that your life may have gone this direction under your steam and under your guidance. And you may have had supernatural things happen. Like, for instance, Moses. You go back to his life. Moses was supernaturally picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, a child that was supposed to have been killed. He shouldn't have even survived. But not only did he survive, but he survived in the household of the very person who had issued his death warrant. Now that's supernatural. And he was raised in all of this luxury. He was skilled in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, it says in Acts chapter 7. He was mighty in words and deeds, and he had all of these things. There's even secular accounts that I've read that he was one of the greatest generals that ever led the armies of Egypt. And he conquered the Ethiopians and the Libyans and brought the greatest bounty of spoil that Egypt had ever had. I mean, Moses was a powerful guy. It would have been easy to think, oh, God, look at all this that you've given me. You're going to use me, my military, my position in the Egyptian government, and that's how you're going to accomplish your will. You know what? That made sense. The only thing wrong with it was that wasn't God's will. God wasn't going to do it that way. God had a plan for him, but not through just these natural things, not through all of his natural abilities. God was going to raise him up to do something that had never been done before. And here we are thousands and thousands of years later talking about how miraculous it was when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And see, there's people today that they live their life. They develop these skills. They get this training and they think, oh, God, use this. God may have a totally different plan for you. Before you were ever conceived in the womb, God had a plan for your life, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Here's another instance of this same thing being said over in Jeremiah chapter 1. And it says in verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations." Boy, how powerful is that? Here's two examples I've given you. And the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. This isn't just limited to two people. This is the way it is with every one of us. Before he formed Jeremiah in the belly, he knew him. Before he came forth out of the womb, God had sanctified him and ordained him to be a prophet unto the nation. Now, this was God's plan and purpose for Jeremiah. Does this mean that God sovereignly was going to make it come to pass? No, he had a choice. And you know what? He could have gone out of the way. Matter of fact, if I had time, I'm saying things that are so different than what most people think that I know that there's a natural resistance and a skepticism in thinking, well, you're just saying this. I wished I had time to verify all of this. But if you were to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13, there is where Saul, the king of Israel, had rebelled at God, did not obey the instruction. And Samuel, the prophet, said that if you would have obeyed God today, then God would have established your throne over the nation of Israel forever. But because you've done this thing, God has forsaken you. God is going to raise him up a man after his own heart. And it turns out later we find out that that was David. David wasn't even born until like 10 years after this. God said to Saul that if you would have obeyed me, I would have established your throne forever. We would have never have heard of David because David wasn't God's first choice. Saul was God's first choice. Saul received the kingdom and fulfilled God's plan for his life to a degree, but he didn't cooperate with it. And so it didn't just automatically come to pass. He lost the kingdom. And God raised up David. And it says that God sought a man after his own heart. Before David was ever born, he was separated unto this destiny, unto this purpose. Now, he could have gone against it. And to some degree, he did. He caused himself grief and heartache when he went out and committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to try and cover that up over in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And it caused David a lot of anguish. And David didn't do everything perfectly, but nonetheless, you see the difference. Here was Saul, who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Samuel said, God would have established your kingdom forever. There never would have been a David, King David. There never would have been the sure mercies of David. We wouldn't be talking about the city of David. We wouldn't be talking about Jesus being a son of David if Saul would have obeyed and cooperated. Boy, I tell you, that just is as clear as can be. Wish I had time to go over and teach on all of that. But this is exactly what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah here. He had a purpose. God had a purpose for Saul that didn't get fulfilled because Saul didn't cooperate. He got into self-will and did things his own way. But here's the Lord speaking to Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Well, that's powerful. And I believe that that is true of every one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are in the world. You know, we've had people write us from the bush of Africa, from the continent of India, from Madagascar, from Australia, all across Europe, the United States, South America. We've got people all over the world watching this program. You might be in some remote place that you even wonder if God can find you. I'm wanting you to know that God knew you, knew everything about you, He knew exactly where you are. He knew everything that was going to happen in your family. God knows everything about you. And before you were even formed in your mother's belly, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. Some people look at that as, man, that's kind of unsettling because you mean all of this stuff that I've done? What if it wasn't God? You know, I look at that and that is so encouraging to me to think that God has a purpose. God has a plan. I'm not a mistake. I'm designed by God. I've got a purpose to fulfill. Man, that's encouraging to me. And I believe that God would be unjust to have this purpose and plan and then not even do anything to help reveal it unto me and just see if I can find it, looking for a needle in a haystack and just I'm on my own and who knows whether it's going to work. No, if God is that involved, if God is that detailed that He knows all about us and He has plans, our gifts and talents, our abilities are specifically designed to accomplish this purpose of God. If all those things be true, well, then you know what? I can guarantee you God is concerned about revealing this unto you. But one of the very first steps in fulfilling this will is you've got to get the revelation of it. It says over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, don't be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's no reason for us to be ignorant. God wants to reveal His will and His purpose and His plan for you, to you, more than you want it. I can guarantee you that. God has put a lot of effort into you. There is a lot of effort. God has done things to move your life and to manipulate circumstances so that you're watching this program today. God is doing lots of things in your life to bring you to that place. You just need to cooperate. And one of the first things you've got to do is to recognize that you didn't evolve, that you aren't just a mistake. It's not up to you to do your own thing and hope that God blesses it. God created you for a purpose. You are designed by God. God is doing everything to move you in that direction, but it takes your cooperation. You know, right after the Lord told Jeremiah this, in verse 6, then said I, this is Jeremiah speaking, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You know, this was exactly my response. As a matter of fact, the Lord used these verses supernaturally in my life. You know, it's amazing to me how people can read the Bible and they read about things that happened thousands of years ago and they look at it as only history and they don't ever personalize it. They don't ever receive any benefit from it. It's just like this is a book about what God said to somebody else. But you know what? When I read the Word, it comes alive. God speaks to me through this. And you know, when I first got really turned on to the Lord, I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. Now, I had certain friends that I was okay around. Once I got, you know, family and friends, I was okay around them. But I mean, if it was a stranger, I was so intimidated. I was so fearful I was going to say or do something wrong. I remember a person walking down the street and saying good morning to me. I was a senior in high school. I was 17 years old and they said good morning. And they were two blocks down the street before I could get good morning back out. And I went and sat in my car and just sat there and crushed, like, what's wrong with me? I was introverted. Man, to stand in front of people, to be in front of a TV like this, it would have killed me. I'd literally died on the spot. It just couldn't happen. And when I had this experience with the Lord in 1968, and God touched my life and called me to minister, I immediately started trying to talk and speak and preach. And it was pitiful. The very first time I ever held a three-day meeting, I memorized three sermons because I was so fearful that I was going to get up there and have nothing to say. I memorized three sermons. And I was so nervous, I preached all three sermons in 5 minutes the first night. And if you thought the first night was bad, you should have heard the next two. I didn't have time to memorize the sermon. It was pitiful. It was so bad that every time I got up and tried to talk, I would ask God to forgive me for embarrassing Him and me both and swore I'd never do it again. And yet it's like Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, it was like fire shut up in my bones and I'd just have to ask God to forgive me and I'd go try it again because I just had this burning on the inside of me to try and share the truths God was giving me with other people. And yet it was a failure every time. And in 1972, I married my wife. In the beginning of 1973, in this Baptist church I was in, they had a layman's Sunday, and they asked me if I'd preach. And I told them I would. And as soon as I said I would, I started regretting it. Because, man, there was going to be hundreds of people there. And I was panicked. And I was in the midst of praying, oh, God, help me to get to where I could speak in front of people. I was just so fearful and intimidated. Anyway, long story, but my wife and I had just been married. We were living in a little apartment, Kingsley Place Apartments in Dallas, Texas. And we had a one-bedroom apartment, and I went in to go to bed, and normally back then, I mean, I hit the pillow, I was gone. I was asleep. And this night I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. It was like 20 minutes. And so I got up, went into the living room. Long story short, the Lord told me that just like Solomon, he appeared and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything. What do you want? And instead of asking for money, instead of asking for victory over his enemies, he asked for wisdom. And God, it pleased God. God told me that night, he says, I'm going to give you whatever you want. What is it that you want? And I said, God, I want the ability to speak in front of people and to speak your word. And instantly the Lord brought me to these scriptures and said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you came forth out of the belly, I sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. And just like Jeremiah said, God, I'm a child. I can't speak. And he said in the next verse, thus saith the Lord, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And it goes on to say that God touched his mouth and put his word in his mouth. And then in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14, it says, because you speak this word, I will make my word in your mouth fire, and the people wood, and it shall devour them. God spoke these things to me. I really believe that this isn't something that just applies to Jeremiah. It applies to me. And I don't believe it just applies to me. I believe that God has a purpose for every one of you. God created you. And regardless of what your natural failings are and natural problems, you can overcome them. You know, God called me to do something. I'm doing something right now that is completely impossible for me in the natural. This is not my personality type to speak in front of people. You know what? This is supernatural for me. This is something that would have just literally killed me before I had this experience. But you know, after this time, prior to that time, I mean, every time I got an opportunity to speak, I panicked. It was pitiful so that I'd ask God to forgive me. Did you know that, when I got up at that layman's Sunday to speak, they had to literally get up and stop me. I went something like 2 hours. All of this stuff that had been bottled up on the inside of me, now my fear was gone. There was an anointing on me. I was speaking. The Word of God was flowing out of me, and I've never shut up since. Amen. That's been 1973. And you know what? There has been an anointing on my life because I found out what God's will for my life was. And God has a purpose for me. And I'm fulfilling it. And there's a blessing. There's a supernatural ability to do what I'm doing. And you know what? There is an ability for every one of you. God has a purpose for every one of you. But you've got to find out what that is. You know, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this series. Let me say that we have brand new materials on this entitled Don't Limit God. It's a gospel truth seminar that I held in January in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's brand new product. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and either call or write and receive this teaching. I believe it will really help you.
Andrew's 5-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God, Part 2, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK148C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I know that the Lord spoke directly to many of you today, and you realize that you don't know for sure what God's will for your life is, but now you're convinced that there is a plan. You just need to find out what it is. I encourage you to get these materials, and of course the quickest way to get them is to call. But as you call, please ask for prayer. There are people that will minister to you, and there are people that have this revelation, and we are seeing miraculous things happen. I mean, people's lives are changed as they call in. So our helpline is for more than just getting the product. You can call and receive prayer, and I believe that this can start you on a path to help you find out what God's will for your life is.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Caris Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs. Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.